Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakei. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. Last week, I said I didn't have much inspiration. Well, unfortunately for all of you, I've got tons of inspiration this week. It's been a great week of my senses picking up all kinds of different things. So I've got a potpourri. I love that word, potpourri. Potpourri of things that I wanted to talk about. And Katie and I just touched on one of the subjects. And after last week, I had a couple of people reach out to me, and Katie also saw Twitter where people were thankful that I was lost in the woods and feeling that same sort of sense of detachment and bewilderment. I was struggling to sort of figure out a theme for the week, but just kind of in that blasé sort of mood that seemed to catch everybody at the same time. And I said, you know, what I really like about the podcast and what I really like about the feedback that I get about the podcast, and, you know, interestingly enough, the book as well, True Fit, is that when people do respond to me on those things, they say, you know, like, I feel like you were talking to me. It's almost like you're at the right time, at the right place with me. And I wish I could, you know, profess to be that brilliant. But I think I'm just like any other human being, in that the only difference is that I'm prepared to actually share my feelings about how I feel at that moment or at that time and place. And we're all sort of connected, and, you know, my feelings are not that much different than anybody else's. And I think that there's some real comfort in people realizing that we are all connected and that we all do share the same sort of feelings, and we all have the same sort of ups and the same sort of downs. You know, when I wrote the books, I really wanted them to be in doing the podcast. And I said this to Katie when we first met, I want people to be able to come away with something in the podcast or the books that they can actually do something with it. You know, there are millions of books out there, self-help books, where people sort of say, oh yeah, that's great, the book's fantastic, this, that, but they don't actually do anything with it, right? They, you know, I talk about it, and I can't remember in which book it was, whether it was my first How to Hire the Perfect Employer or my second, True Fit. By the way, it still blows me away that I have two books and a podcast, but that's just me, where I talk about that book. I don't even know if it exists anymore, but my generation would have been What Color Is Your Parachute? And it's a book about how to figure out, you know, what to do next in your life and your career and stuff like that. But the book is like 500 pages. And I realized that people with my personality would never get through that book, but probably need it more than anybody else. And people that don't need the book, but would get through it, can get through it. But at the end of the day, there was nothing in it that sort of a call to action, which is what I always talk about, is what's the call to action? What is this book? What is this article? What is this video? What is this movie? What is everything create a call to action? You know, I know I talked about expanding your reading. I signed up for more subscriptions to all kinds of things, some really interesting stuff. And I'm getting articles, I'm reading articles about stuff that is way outside my mental zone, way outside my mental zone. And as opposed to reading it and just keeping it for myself, I'm actually sharing it with people. And, you know, one of the ones that I just recently shared was about, it was in the Harvard Business Review, about universities cutting professors and cutting tenure. And I sent it out to a bunch of my clients. And I said, you know, what was at one time unthinkable, improbable, and undoable are now thinkable, probable, and doable, but more importantly, necessary. And so if these hallowed institutions with traditions that have gone over time in memoriam realize that the world is changing and we have to react to it, because, you know, we're going to go broke as a college, which concept of that, of going broke as a college, but it's a call to action. So take my podcast, take my book as a call to action. What is it going to spur you on to do? And whether it's to do your infomercial as a result of my book or open up more subscriptions. I'm not on a retainer for any publication, so I just make that perfectly clear, that disclosure. And then share with other people. You see articles, they think it might be interesting, share it with them. Don't sort of say, oh, they already get it, you know, so on and so on. But just share. Let's continue to share. The craziness of the world continues. DoorDash and Airbnb two companies that don't make any money, in fact, lose an incredible amount of money, just went absolutely berserk this week on their IPO. I, for one, cannot profess to have any clue of what's going on, because at the same time, I read that 110,000 restaurants in the United States have gone under and probably will not reopen. There's a hollowing out of the cities. Food banks are continuing to grow in numbers. The disparity between what's going on in one world, which is in the stock market, and what seems to be going on in the real world, seems to be at a point where I've never seen anything like this, and it doesn't make me feel good about it. It actually concerns me greatly, because I think underlying it, my greatest fear is about social unrest. And when people feel like they have no choices, everybody I talk to, nobody can seem to sort of put their finger onto it. Everybody talks about, oh, the retail investors in the Fed's created too much money in the system. But God, a company like Airbnb in March was worth $18 billion. Today, it's worth $100 billion. It loses $800 million a year and lost $800 million this year. And it's now larger than the top three hotel chains in the world. So go figure. I don't know what the call to action there is, but the call to action is probably keep an eye on it. An interesting chat with my son this week, who just started a new job with a company called Flinks, F-L-I-N-K-S, founded by some people in Montreal. And it's a KYC, know your client, technology, AI. It's way above my pay grade. But the interesting part about the conversation I had with him is he's onboarding, and the challenge of onboarding in this environment, I may have touched on, but you know, when it's sort of firsthand, he's had, I think he said 30 minute meetings. And my son Sam, earlier in the summer, had the same sort of difficulty. And it's not great. It's never great to have to do it this way. But the kids are, you know, the younger kids are probably more adaptable. But, you know, what happens to people in their 40s or 50s or 60s, you know, that are starting a new job? And the socialization aspect of it is so critical. And, you know, the lesson for organizations is we've really got to think about so many things that we never thought about before. How do we, you know, effectively onboard people? How do we get them to have that feeling of culture, that feeling of, you know, replicating that feeling of coming somewhere? Because I still think we're quite a ways away from actually coming somewhere. And so organizations are going to struggle with this. And we've already started to see, I saw an article this week talking about how some organizations are trying to know where people are going on holidays, because they want to have the ability to say, well, if you're going to go there on a holiday and it's a hot zone, then you can't come back to work. And so we're now starting to see that. And I talked about it in a previous podcast, that whole thing about employment law and how it's starting to change. And what is the employer's right? And what is the employee's right? Could you imagine in the past, if your employer said, where are you going on holidays? You'd have said, none of your business type of thing. But now they're not only saying, where are you going on holidays? But they're saying, we want to have a say on where you're going on holidays. Or we want to have a say on what the consequences of you going to downtown New York City or somewhere else. And so I'll have to check with my my legal counsel advisor, Tom Curry at Lensler Slatt, to see what the legal ramifications. But this is all uncharted territory, and we don't know what we don't know. And something new comes up every day, and we need to be flexible. We need to be open-minded. And we need to recognize that we're all trying to come up with a solution that works best for everybody. And I think that that's probably something new. I don't think, you know, most organizations' employees think of themselves as coming up with a solution that works for everybody. Most places come up with a solution that works well for themselves. And it happens to work well for somebody else. But the collective responsibility, which is the upside of what we're all going through, I think, requires us all to take ownership and sort of keep thinking ahead, keep trusting our instincts about different things. Because I think that, you know, if we were to label this year 2020, and I've got one more podcast, but I'll do the review then. But what I would hope is that people look back and realize that, you know, my instincts were pretty good. Like my instincts about things that I did and I didn't do were pretty good. And I think that that's both from an individual perspective, And I don't care where you are on the spectrum of quarantining or not quarantining. But, you know, I think human instincts in general are very, very good. And I think somehow over time, we're raised not to trust ourselves, not to trust our own instincts. And I think if we can get ourselves back to just, you know, like, this is my instinct. I know myself, and I look back over many, many points in my life, whether it was investing or whether it was working somewhere or working with someone, things like that. Pretty rare that my instincts were inaccurate. You know, what was less rare was the fact that I didn't act on it. And if I had acted on those instincts, I think you have less regrets when you act on your instincts. And, you know, I think it's Ingmar Bergman when they said to her, do you have any regrets about the things you've done? And she said, no, I just regret the things that I didn't do. And that's a great phrase for instincts. I think that when I look at my life, I regret the instincts that I didn't follow myself on. And when I look at the line of life, I don't think I could have done it any differently at the time because I didn't have the wisdom or the confidence that I do today. But when I look back and I look back at this year and I look back in my own life, I think how important instinct was and how I didn't give it enough importance and trust it enough. So enough about that. Maybe I'll talk about that next week. And then the last thing I want to talk about is the Christmas spirit and how and when we'll all get into it, because there's no question we've got tons of Amazon boxes, you know, with six kids, you can imagine. Tons of Amazon boxes. We'll be missing my daughter Nora and Pat, who are in, her husband Pat, who are in London, England, just got a new puppy named Otis. So hopefully that'll provide some joy and happiness to replace Dad and the rest of the family when they're in England. But the packages are coming and the wrapping is starting. But we still don't have that Christmas feeling. The tree is up, that sort of sense of building. But I'm going to take a gamble that and say that as we get closer, that this won't be a Grinch Christmas regardless. I think people will actually take the time to reflect about the fact that we have health, we have family. If you're working, be very thankful that you have a job. If you're not working, be hopeful that you can find a job or do something else. And that it may be later in the Christmas spirit that we sort of catch it all, and maybe it'll even take right till Christmas before we sort of feel that. But you know, that feeling when everything's shut down and you have the Christmas spirit while everything's hustle bustle before that, it's not the same because everything is shut down and so the world is dead quiet. But I encourage you to sort of take a moment and count your blessings. We have many blessings to be thankful for. And we're tough and resilient people, and we'll get through whatever is before us. So last suggestion is trust your instinct. Your instincts are right. Thanks, everyone. My name is Jim Bakiai. The podcast is Be You. The World Will Adjust.